attention, please, all passengers. With confusion and comfort, we live out our lives, but your reality has consequence. Sleep in front or behind me, down the center, we score your slide.
Nonprofits. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Jeff D. Our co-host is Dennis Lube.
Howdy.
Our producer, Russell Glasser.
Hello.
And engineer, Matt Dillahunty.
Hello.
Woo. Happy 2006, everyone.
Woohoo.
We're live January 14, broadcasting from the beautiful Dillahunty International Studios. Today's opening music was Attention Please by Caroline Spine from their album Attention Please. Our show is sponsored by the Atheist Community of Austin, a nonprofit educational organization promoting positive atheism and the separation of church and state. The ACA has weekly meetings, Sunday mornings at Romeo's at 1500 Barton Springs Road, every Sunday except for the third of each month, when we have our lecture series at 12:30 p.m. in the reception room of the Austin History Center, located in downtown Austin at 9th and Guadalupe. The next lecture will be on January something, right? Or is it? Is this on? This is the non-lecture. It's the trip to Longhorn
Cavern.
Yes,
tomorrow we'll be getting together at Interspace Cavern.
Interspace Cavern. I never get those right.
Yes, and that's at 12:30.
Correct. At Interspace Cavern, which is just off Highway 35 north of Austin.
Right.
A bit. I'm going to be there. You guys going?
Yes.
Yep. Try.
And by the way, I just noticed that my notes don't say when the gathering at Romeo's begins. Is that 11-ish? 10-ish?
Romeo's is always 11:30, but that's
11:30 a.m.
But that won't be happening tomorrow.
But that won't be happening tomorrow on account of the fact that it would be a lecture series,
right,
but we don't have a lecture because we're going to what cave?
Interspace.
Cavern.
Our own Joe Zemecki is a tour guide there and is going to be leading the tour, which is very exciting. The Godless Gamers meet every Monday night at 7 p.m. at the Glasser residence. ACA Happy Hour is at Antonio's near Highway 35 and 183, Thursday nights at 7:30. The Unholy Rollers roller skating group meet every Tuesday at the Playland Skate Center at 8822 McCann Drive. For more information, as if that wasn't enough, call our voicemail at 512-371-2911 or visit the website www.atheist-community.org. Chat reminder! You can, of course, participate in our show live every Sunday from 2 to 3:30 Central Time if you log on to the chat room on the internet. There's two ways to do this. One is go to www.wickedwire.com/javachat.html, and that's W-I-K-K-E-D wire, to open a Java Chat applet. Type a screen name and enter nonprofits as the channel, or download your own chat program like Chatzilla or MIRC. Set it to log in at irc.wickedwire.com/6667, and again, join the channel, nonprofits. I'm happy to report that the podcast issues, which I've been annoying everyone with, have been resolved. Last time I got on, my podcast updated. If you want to get us via podcast, if you're not already, our web page tells you how to do that, and that's nonprofits.com.
Nonprofitsradio.com.
Nonprofitsradio. And remember, it's P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, profitsradio.com, and then all the instructions are there. Also, if you have friends that listen to us in any way other than directly connecting to our stream, we're right now not being carried by Free Thought Radio, right? Because they're on hiatus.
At this moment, that's correct.
So there are instructions how to directly connect to us if you know anybody that wants to be listening to us right now, but it doesn't connect to us by the direct stream. They're going to be wondering what's up.
Of course, if people heard you say that, then they already know.
They do. That's why I specifically said if they have friends.
Right.
That need to be informed. Please inform them. Do we know when Free Thought Radio is going to be back? Precisely?
I believe they said the month of January is out.
So I'm
assuming February 1st.
Well, do we have one or two more shows this month? Just one, right?
Yes.
One more show. Okay. So look for us on Free Thought Radio in February. Okay. Everybody remember the CFI cruise?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to get my many $1,000 ticket.
We sort of made fun of them on account of it's expensive. But, you know, I mean, I'm glad that free thought and skepticism and rationalism are such a big thing that they can have a cruise now, even if I can't afford it. They're having another one.
I'm glad that there are rich people giving them lots of money.
That must have gone well.
As long as it's not me.
CFI events calendar, da-da-da-da! From May 28 to June 4 of this year, skeptics and secular humanists will be joining the Center for Inquiry for an exclusive cruise experience to Alaska.
Sweet.
Last time they went south, now they're going north. Sweet, you going?
I don't know, but when I first heard you announce the date, you know, May,
yeah.
I was thinking, who the hell wants to go down to, like, St. Thomas in May?
Oh, cool.
It's great. Those Alaskan tours are supposed to be really cool.
I went on one of those. Yeah, yeah.
Not
with the rationalists, but it was cool.
The ship sets... Yeah, you showed me pictures.
Saw all the glaciers and everything.
Yeah, I won't be able to go to that either.
But, of course, once global warming's done with, there won't be any more glaciers.
Well, that's why it's good to go now.
They'll all be, you know, naked native women.
The,
in lush tropical,
The ship set sail from Seattle, Washington.
Visiting crawling around on their igloos.
They're melting igloos. Anyway, go ahead.
They're in their hot tubs. Visiting Juneau and Sitka, Alaska, and Prince Rupert and Victoria, British Columbia. The theme for CFI's Alaskan Explorer is planetary ethics, realizing personal enrichment, and saving our earthly habitat. Speakers include Paul Kurtz, founder of the Council for Secular Humanism and PSYCHOP and the Center for Inquiry, Barbara Forrest, professor of philosophy and an expert witness in the recent ID trial in Dover,
Hero
Pennsylvania.
Of the ID trial.
Yeah, that is a coup.
Nice.
Mark Bowen, science writer and photographer, and Joe Nichol, PSYCHOP senior research fellow and investigative columnist for Skeptical Inquirer magazine. For information or to make reservations, call CFI-Florida. Oh, I didn't have to say the dash, did I? Call them at 800-398-7571 or email cruise@cfiflorida.org or visit www.cfitravel.org. They don't list a price this time.
Ooh.
Now, is that because we made fun of them last time? As if they care
could
what
be.
We say?
Yes.
We're such a popular
show.
I have no
evidence that anybody at CFI is listening to this show. If there's anybody from CFI listening to the show, please let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love
and, you know,
to
it's all in good fun if we poke a little fun at how the cruise is expensive.
We think it's a fine thing. We are advertising you for nothing.
Remember.
That too.
Shut up.
That's right. Remember, rationalists are the ones with a sense of humor.
Right. If anybody out there knows of any events or groups or websites that you think deserve mention on our show, please let us know by emailing nonprofits@atheist-community.org. Okie dokie.
How do you spell hyphen? Is that... No, sorry.
It's a minus. It's a minus sign.
Which button is the Eddie key?
That's right.
So you want to do some news?
Sure.
Like, can we have a non-theme? You know, we have talked about our theme for today's show. Can we have a non-theme news thing to start us off?
Yes. Why don't we start off with Egypt?
Let's start off with Egypt. Some comedy.
Egypt?
Speaking of naked people in Alaska.
What? Anyway,
you'll see the connection.
Yeah, naked people sitting on their pyramids.
An Egyptian cleric's controversial fatwa claiming that nudity during sexual intercourse invalidates a marriage has uncovered a rift among Islamic scholars.
The rift is between those who like having sex naked and those who don't.
According to the religious edict issued by Rashad Hassan Khalil, a former dean of Al-Azhar University's Faculty of Sharia, or Islamic Law, quote, being completely naked during the act of coitus annuls the marriage, unquote.
I mentioned before the show, I actually find it, you know, kind of sexy if my partner retains some small clothing item during the act. So that's actually kind of nice. It's like a... Like a ribbon. Boots. Somebody mentioned sunglasses.
Here's what, they crawl up inside that shade door or whatever.
A kerchief or bandana, like a necklace can be nice.
Sure.
You know, something.
What is the thing that women wear? What's it called? Chador?
What?
You mean the traditional Islamic head guard.
Right, the big robe that goes...
Naked except for their
burqa.
Head thing. Yeah.
Burqa, I crawl up inside the burqa.
I only remember that because, Dennis, you and I worked with a guy named Burqa.
That's right.
Oh, the burqa is the whole outfit.
Yeah.
The whole head-to-toe thing. Yeah, that's not very sexy.
They just need to install a little flap.
Yeah, but very private, I mean... Do the next one, walking down the street and that thing.
Or, you
know the difference.
Maybe they should just, you know, cut to the chase and start setting up glory holes in Islamic establishments. That would just solve the whole thing, wouldn't it?
Sure. Yeah. They'd go for that.
Like I say,
I'm just
wearing my house. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some people complaining for some reason.
Really?
We're all naked under our clothes.
The religious decree sparked a hot debate on the private satellite network Dream's popular religious talk show and on the front page of Sunday's Al-Masri Al-Yom, Egypt's leading independent daily newspaper.
Right here.
Swad Saleh, who heads the women's department of Al-Azhar's Islamic Studies faculty, pleaded for anything that can bring spouses closer to each other and rejected the claim that nudity during intercourse could invalidate a union. During the live televised debate...
Well, you know, they don't have the Playboy channel over there. They gotta get their kicks somehow.
Islamic scholar Abdel Muti dismissed the fatwa. Nothing is prohibited during marital sex, except, of course, sodomy.
Is that it?
Yes.
So basically, he meant to say something is.
For his part, Al-Azhar's fatwa committee chairman Abdullah Megawar argued that married couples could see each other naked but should not look at each other's genitalia and suggested they cover up with a blanket during sex. Wow.
Whose spot was?
Oh, my God.
I don't think they're healthy. Somebody should introduce a...
well,
a,
for the target, no!
Somebody should introduce a low-fat wah option.
Oh! Oh, man.
And, you know, we make
this
fun
is
of...
idiotic.
We make fun of these people for saying that you shouldn't be naked during your married sex. But we've had crazier Christians here, right? What was the cult that believed that you should have no sex at all, period?
I don't know. Well, what was the one that says you have to wear your magic underwear even during
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But they do have a flap.
Well, the flap has to... If they're talking about...
I mean, that's just as bad as this Sharia thing.
Wait,
I mean,
want to identify the Christian cults in question. The ones that said that they died out because they didn't have any sex. That was like Shakers, right?
I don't know.
It was either Shakers or Quakers,
I know,
but I think there's
no,
still...
No, not Quakers.
It's not
Quakers.
Okay, it's Shakers. I'm pretty sure it's Shakers.
One.
Yeah. It's okay.
Not
it's okay
stirs.
For Quakers. They just can't use vibrators.
Well, I don't need them.
Well, why do you think they call them Shakers? Of course they can use vibrators.
No, but, okay, well...
So
it's
speaking
just
of Mormons,
always hilarious to me what these people, how these people would react if they ever came to the realization, you know, all these rules were just completely made up by people who didn't have anything better
uh-huh.
to do, but think of things that other people shouldn't be allowed to do.
Well, they should just do what most people do, which is go ahead and do the sin anyway, and then feel bad about it and enslave themselves more deeply into their religion.
Yes, it's
yeah.
actually like an Emo Phillips comedy bit I heard once. He said, you know, when I was a kid, I used to pray every day for a bicycle, but then I realized God and his infinite wisdom doesn't work that way, so I stole one and asked him to forgive me.
Oh! Oh, that's good.
Hey, I need to interject with something technical for a second.
Yeah?
Turns out
that's always fun.
one of our listeners was making comments about
yeah.
The show. And
yeah.
it turns out that for whatever reason,
yeah.
people who may have tried to connect through Shoutcast
yeah.
are hearing an old rebroadcast of an old nonprofit show, which means either somebody out there, maybe Shoutcast themselves, are rebroadcasting old shows. So if you're hearing this... and it's not January 14th, and you think it's live, it's not.
Wow.
So we're going to have to look into what's going on with rebroadcast.
Wait, so are you telling me people can't hear us?
There are people who can hear us right now just fine, as long as they connected directly. Those people who tried to just load up Winamp and connect your Shoutcast or whatever, they're
getting weird
like
stuff.
A show from
oh
6 months
God,
ago.
Oh, God, that's weird.
Okay, well.
Okay.
What was it, a good one?
That is a good reason why you should always, always go to the chat room when you're listening to the show, because you'll be kept up to date on information like this.
When crazy technical
yeah.
things happen.
Yeah, yep. And that is at wickedwire.com.
Right.
Channel okay. nonprofits.
Edwire.com. Number, yeah, channel number sign dot nonprofits. Okay, speaking of Mormons...
Or go to nonprofitsradio.com and it will always tell you everything you need to know because the webpage is perfect.
Cool.
The webpage that you updated like seconds before we went on the air.
Yeah. That webpage.
Well, it was perfect in time for the broadcast.
That's right.
That's right.
Technically perfect.
Once again... For, speaking of Mormons.
Oh, yes,
we just
yes.
need to have a segment on our show. Speaking
Mormon.
Of Mormons.
Can we get a fancy graphic? Oh, wait.
We're audio. We could maybe get a fancy sound effect. What would the Mormon sound effect be?
I don't know. According to
probably a crying
South
baby.
Park, though, they are the correct religion.
Speaking of Mormons, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
All right. On January 11, Doug wrote, "Great show! You made a crack about Utah in one of your last episodes, so I just had to pipe in. Believe me, in a lot of ways, it's much, much worse than a lot of your jokes. Do a quick Google search on some of these, and you'll have the show fodder for next year. See, this is
yeah.
where I'm saying we could go
is
ahead and
he
have
saying
a segment.
That our jokes
it's another guy.
Wait a minute. Is he saying that our jokes are bad, but Mormons are worse?
No, he's saying once again that it's impossible to parody Christians. Oh,
okay. But we're going to try.
But we're going to try.
It's our divine mission, sort of. Yeah, so this guy's given me all these leads, and of course I haven't Googled these yet, but I thought everybody would like to know what Doug thought we should check into. Chris Butters, Utah State Senator, trying to advance intelligent design, block all gay marriage, is succeeded by amending the state's constitution, banning gay clubs, forcing the In God Pledge in schools, and on and on and on. He's a menace to the Constitution and a threat to individual liberty.
Wow.
He was actually my bishop when I was a Mormon. A world-class asshat.
That's a technical term, by the
way. We should give him a medal.
Go on, next item. It is currently illegal to have your car dealership open on Sunday in Utah. This isn't one of those crazy old laws that you hear about. It was passed by majority vote just a couple years ago.
Oh, Jesus.
It says, besides beer, you can't buy alcohol on Sunday. Until the Olympics came, it was illegal for one person to have two alcoholic drinks on the table at the same time in a restaurant. For that matter... For that matter, it's illegal for the bartender to serve you your drink across the bar. They actually have to walk around the bar to bring you your beer. Again, by law, it's only 3.2% alcohol. What is that? I'm not sure what that means. Is he saying the beer is only 3.2% alcohol, so what's the big deal? Or is he saying there's a law in Utah that... beer cannot exceed 3.2% alcohol.
That wouldn't surprise me, but I thought the Mormons don't get to drink alcohol at all.
Sure, but it's not 100% Mormon there.
Yeah, but
so they can pass laws controlling what the
government is 100% Mormon.
So they pass laws restricting what you can do when you're not a Mormon in your bar. But see, of course, if I Googled these things before bringing it up on the show. But that just proves that this is interesting stuff for future discussions.
Fantastic. We've got a room full of chat rumors.
That's right.
No, don't hold off, folks. Okay. We're going to do these. I'm going to take this guy's suggestion and do a Mormon segment for a while, as long as it lasts. A fantastically wacky, if not frightening, Mormon history, which ultimately I was born into, is. Oh, I'm confused. Oh, okay. What he's doing is pointing me to his own blog. Doug's blog is 8hourlunch.com. That's all one word. 8 hour.
8 hour lunch. 8 hour lunch. Spelled out.
Yes. 8 is spelled out. And on it, he's got a post called "Thinking Outside of the Gene Pool." He has more to say. And he says, if you haven't already, you need to read Charles Krakauer's Under the Banner of Heaven, A Story of Violent Faith. It's an incredible book that explores the connections between violence and religion using Mormon fundamentalism as a case study. A fascinating read. I couldn't put it down. This should be of particular interest to you because one of the more violent cults led by Warren Jeffs has just set up shop in Texas. Anyhow, gotta get back to work. Keep up the good work. You have easily one of the best podcasts out there. Even better now that it actually updates.
Yeah.
Thanks. Then, moments later, he sent another email. Now I remember what it was that got me started. You mentioned incest in Utah in the same breath. Quite appropriate. Incest is so rampant in Utah that Krakauer devotes a section to it in his book. There are clans in which the inbreeding is so common that the women are said to have given birth to masses of protoplasm more often than real children.
Oh.
The incidence of birth defects in these communities is staggering.
Wow.
Now, not that Doug sends us any statistics, much less photos. So, thank you, Doug, for writing. It's always great to hear from our listeners, especially when they like us.
Even if it is bad news.
Okay. So, Dennis, can you do a non-theme news
item? Non-theme.
Let's do all the theme stuff together when we get to our theme for today.
Okay.
Show. It's a secret theme this that you listeners don't get to know what
here.
It is until we start.
Vampire candidate backs public impaling. Minneapolis. One gubernatorial candidate in Minnesota is giving a whole new meaning to the dark side of politics. A man who calls himself a satanic priest plans to run for governor on a 13-point platform that includes the public impaling of terrorists at the state Capitol building.
Uh-huh.
Jonathan Sharkey, also known as The Impaler, plans to launch his gubernatorial campaign. Sharkey The Impaler. When else? Friday the 13th. He'll make the announcement in Princeton. I'm going to be totally open and honest, said the 41-year-old leader of the Vampires, Witches, and Pagans Party. Unlike other candidates, I'm not going to hide my evil side. Sharkey raises the bar. For one thing, he told the Star Tribune in an email that he drinks blood. Including the impaling of terrorists, rapists, drug dealers, and other criminals, Sharkey's platform includes emphasis on education, tax breaks for farmers, and better benefits for veterans. Sharkey said he worships Lucifer, and while he says he has nothing against Christians, he calls the Christian God and the Father his mortal enemy.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost tempted to think that this guy is actually a fundamentalist Christian trying to make a point.
Doesn't he know that instituting impaling a religious practice of his religion would be a violation of separation of church and state? Doesn't he know that?
But why should he obey the law if he worships Lucifer?
So I'm just trying to bring this somehow into relevance to our program.
I only follow a lower law.
He's a kook. But the article does point out that in Minnesota, anyone who pays the $300 filing fee can get on the gubernatorial ballot. And it seems that every year a few eccentric candidates make the rounds.
That's kind of cool, though, for somebody to actually be taking the moral low ground.
Yeah, that's cool. You know,
elect me.
It's a little refreshing.
Don't go for the lesser of evils.
I will line up the hips of our enemies right
major
in front of
evil.
Us.
And now, a moment of politics.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh. Just for your information, this is relevant on our atheism-oriented show.
Yes.
American Atheists and the Center for Inquiry have both issued press releases opposing the confirmation of Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, Alito.
Cool.
Our listeners might want to know that two of the more preeminent free thought, rationalist, skeptical organizations out there oppose this dickweed.
Yeah.
Have either of you actually seen the hearings?
I've been following as best I can.
I've watched some of them on C-SPAN, they're head-bangingly awful.
Mostly I've just been appalled at the coverage on CNN. Where, you know, a couple of, not very far into it, they were announcing, he's a shoo-in. Uh-huh. Everybody says he's a shoo-in, when in fact, all the Democrats were going, hey, wait a minute. We're not satisfied at all.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's saying absolutely nothing. And something I said back when Harriet Myers was running was that you're not innocent until proven guilty as far as being put on the Supreme Court. I mean, far more people should not be on the Supreme Court than should be. So I think the default position for anyone should be this person shouldn't be on the Supreme Court.
Right, and they have to convince us.
They have the burden of proof that they are exceptionally well qualified to be there.
Right.
And the strategy, like all the previous people's strategies, has been to say, nothing I've ever said before actually means anything. You can't tell anything about my opinions from the things I've said about my opinions. And I'm not going to tell you what I think now, but trust me, I'm very smart.
And things that clearly indicate my opinions, I don't remember those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I do kind of personally think that if we had rational people in the Senate that's reviewing him? It's the Senate, right?
Senate, yeah.
He wouldn't have even gotten in the door. Because he's admitted, or he's claimed, that he lied to the Reagan administration in order to get a job.
Right.
What? Whoa. Okay.
He wrote that he was a member of this racist organization at Princeton.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about his position on position on abortion.
Abortion.
He said, well, I just wrote that I didn't think abortion was constitutionally protected because I knew the Reagan administration was like that and I was trying to get a job. Anybody who... No, and wow. You know, I brought this up to people and they go, ah, people lie in their resumes all the time. Yeah, but we don't put people on the Supreme Court all the time. As soon as you are identified as a person who will lie to get a job, you are identified as a person who nothing that you say when you're being interviewed for a job can be taken seriously. That's just... That you've just exposed what your character is.
You've just destroyed your reputation.
Period.
Pretty
I just
much,
don't even
yeah.
care about these details anymore. He is
resume.
A man who will lie
no,
to
don't.
Get this job.
Yes, people do lie on their resume all the time. Unethical people lie on
right.
their resumes.
Liars lie on their resume.
Yeah, well,
yes.
The point, hold on.
Yeah.
The defense of the people that use that argument, whether it is a good idea or not, the practice of embellishing your resume to get a job is considered, you know, normal.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But being considered for the highest court in the land is not a normal job application.
Right.
Right.
Right? In this case, with that you know, sort of foolish attitude that lying is okay when it's on a job resume has to be set aside for the good of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right? I mean, if we had a secretary of not driving too fast on highways, you wouldn't say, yeah, he was caught speeding, but everybody could speed, you know, everybody drives
right.
at the speed they think they can get away with.
Right.
You wouldn't say it's okay to give him the job. Just because everybody does it. It's ridiculous. Wow, that was a little bit more than a moment of politics.
Yes, but...
But well, not
I
terribly partisan. I mean...
I think they had it coming.
Who had what coming?
I think Alito
yeah.
deserves comment.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, any more non-thematic news to do?
I'm not sure if this is thematic or not.
Sued is thematic.
A couple of weeks ago I was talking about Darwin's Black Box by Michael Behe, which
and we argued about that monkey.
In the process of reading, I finished reading it and put up a lengthy review on my blog, kazimscorner.blogspot.com, that's KazimKorner.
Can I ask why you adopted a Islamic-sounding
that is
moniker?
That is explained in a post
okay.
on
All right.
the blog.
So anybody wants to know why Russell poses as an Islamic
Google
guy?
I think you can probably Google for Russell Glasser blog and you'll find it.
Oh, by the way, there is one story we have that's not seen.
Well, wait, Russell's not done yet.
Oh, go ahead.
You can check out that post. I also put it up on a post at talk.origins, the news group, under the heading A Somewhat Belated View of Review of Darwin's Black Box. It went without comment for a couple of hours, and then it got a reply that said, I nominate this as post of the month, and then second. So I don't even know what the voting process is, but if you would care to go vote for me,
you have to be reading
around.
News groups, and I have lost access to news groups and have not reestablished it.
Tried groups.google.com?
I have traditionally not used that to read news groups.
Well,
I've used the newsreader built into my email program, which is not the problem. The problem is that my ISP changed hands, and I believe they've changed their IP, their news server. And
there are it's
all broken now.
We're losing the non-technical people
yeah.
now.
Sorry,
there are
I know.
There are free news servers you can get news groups from.
Yes, and maybe someday I will. Dennis.
Yeah. Well, there's our favorite religious fanatic, U.S.
Robertson. I thought Russell was going to do him.
All right, go for it.
But that's themed.
That's not themed.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's not, no. It's not a court case.
It's Pat.
Hey, I will
that's
say
our,
that
our second hint to what today's theme is going to be.
Sorry.
I will say that while it's
attentive
cool,
listeners now don't understand, huh?
While it's really cool that Russell wrote a good review of the book and it's getting attention, I'm skeptical that it's actually better than the mocking post that he did last month, because that was just brilliant. Anybody who hasn't read it, you know, while you're at Kazim's Corner, read the post on mocking.
Okay, now everybody argue about which post of mine is the most brilliant.
Get your own freaking audio show. You talk about your blog to your heart's content.
Yes, yes. Well, actually, can I say a couple of words from that post just to sort of wrap up my
sure.
yes,
the
go
things
for it.
I had to say about Behe 2 weeks ago?
Sure.
Is that it's at the end of the book when he actually starts talking about intelligent design that he really shifts into high gear with the making analogies.
Uh-huh.
And one of the most famous analogies he uses in the book is where he says, imagine there's a room full of detectives who are investigating a body that's been crushed to death, and in the middle of the room is a large elephant, and the detectives are going around ignoring the elephant and staring intently at the floor because the detective handbook says you must get your man when a crime occurs, and so they don't think about elephants. And the elephant in the room is intelligent design, and the scientists are ignoring it, even though it's so obvious that that's what it is. And I said, wait a minute. Behe goes through the entire book and never produces an actual elephant. All he does is say, now that I've ruled out the other explanation, it must be elephants. It's more like if you were in a 23rd story apartment building and there's no sign of an elephant and the detectives are milling around and Behe is standing there going, ah, that theory didn't work, did it? Have you considered elephants? And the detectives say, well, there's no witnesses who saw an elephant, and there's no clear way that an elephant would get up the stairs or the elevator, so how could it be elephants? And he said, well, because your other explanations aren't working. That's the only thing left.
The only thing left. Yeah, right.
Right.
Man.
So, on to
Pat Robertson.
Reverend.
Yay.
But you know, when they try that in court, Behe won't say it's actually an elephant. He'll say that it's some large animal, we're not saying which one. But I think it was an elephant.
Right. Well, Pat Robertson, I never did get around to printing out the rest of this story, but I'll recap the steps in this story. Ariel Sharon has taken very sick and has been hospitalized because of a stroke. This is the sort of crazy warmonger leader of Israel.
He's a beautiful man.
Yeah. So Pat Robertson couldn't wait to get on the air and say something stupid about him.
That's what he does.
Yeah. So he said that Sharon was being punished by God for splitting up God's land,
uh-huh.
as if God was some sort of jealous landlord.
Not for bombing, women and children in Palestine.
Right.
But
oh, no,
for splitting
no,
up
no,
the
no.
land. Okay.
Yeah.
Just so we know, Pat's got his priorities straight.
Yeah.
So the nation of Israel responded by saying, "All right." Pat Robertson was going to get into this $50 million business deal with us to build a Christian theme park here in Israel. Deal's off.
Ooh.
Which I think is great because, you know, for a while you can get away with saying stupid things and not having it catch up to you, but...
So once in a while, it
actually has consequences.
Right. So did Robertson show a spine and a medicum of integrity and say, fine?
Well, no, now it says, Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson has sent a letter apologizing for suggesting that Ariel Sharon's massive strike.
I'm glad he apologized. I don't want that. See, this keeps coming up. I'm just going to digress here for a second.
What?
We keep running into these like shallow Christians that are, you know, not absolutely fanatically devoted to their beliefs. And then we criticize them for it. And I think that's wrong. We should be yelling at them when they're idiots, and we should be thankful in general to them.
Okay,
for the fact that they are not as absolutely committed to their crazy beliefs as they say they should be.
I'm not criticizing him for apologizing.
No, I'm not reacting to Dennis.
But that would be praising them for being hypocrites.
If I've got a guy who's either 100% evil or only 50% evil, the 100% evil guy isn't a hypocrite. But he's fucking evil! I'd rather a guy be 50% evil than 100%. Hypocrisy isn't the issue. Evilness is the issue.
But wait a minute. Pat Robertson is apologizing because it's interfering with his money-grubbing land grab.
I don't care.
That's a different kind of evil.
I don't care. Well, sure it is, but it's less of the evil of telling his followers that this guy, it's none of his business to comment on what he does in his country in the first place, is hated by their imaginary friend and deserves to die.
He hasn't changed his beliefs. He just apologized for being inconsiderate. You don't think he still absolutely believes what he said, that God was punishing Sharon?
But he is interpreted, like Dennis interpreted him, I think he is widely interpreted as a hypocrite, and I think that is a good thing. You think his followers are just like winking and nodding to each other going, Pat is just saying that in order to get Jesus land back?
Yes.
You do?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm still glad that he does that. I'm so glad. I think it is a mistake for atheists to criticize theists when the theists are less than absolutely hardline extremists.
See, I think I'm going to have to actually have a long talk with my mom.
Yeah.
And get things
find out
here. So that
you're very overdue for that.
Yeah, when we have a conversation like this, I can just call her up and say, "So, Mom, do you think Pat's apology was sincere, or do you think he still believes that God was punishing Sharon?" Mm-hmm. Because I guarantee you, he still believes it, no matter what he apologized.
Maybe I'm being overly sensitive, but we had the story, what was it, last episode, about the churches closing on Christmas Day,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you go, even atheists will, turn and poke fun at them for not being fanatical enough to leave their church open on Christmas Day. Well, I don't want them to be fanatical.
I don't think it's a matter of being fanatical.
I want practical considerations to step in and prevent them from towing the hard, irrational religious line. Because when you are following practical considerations, even if the practical consideration is, well, I'll make a bazillion dollars in Israel if I can have a piece of that Jesus land, you know, I would rather that he care about the practical consideration and over just saying, well, I believe God hates Ariel Sharon, and so I'm just going to say what I believe.
I think I agree with you in principle, except for the fact that there are
that he's probably just lying in this case.
No, there are two kinds of religious evil, and in my opinion, they're both equally bad.
Yeah? What's the other kind?
The one kind of religious evil comes from the sort of thing that's happening in Egypt now.
The naked sex thing?
When people really, really believe something stupid that affects your personal life, that's evil. But there's another kind of evil, the sort of thing that was happening in the Middle Ages, where you had popes, and they were having drunken orgies. Very, very expensive drunken orgies from the money that they were sucking in from the gullible populace that listened to them.
The abject poor.
Right.
They were taking advantage of people. They were stealing all their money, and they were putting on a pious facade while being hypocrites. I don't think that second way is any less evil than being a purely crazy person who believes every word of your holy book.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to point out, was that I don't think we're really talking about the difference between person A being 100% evil and person B being 50% evil. I think we're talking about two people who are 100% evil, and one of them is willing to try and look like he's 50% evil.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Good points, guys. Very good points. Back to Russell's story.
To backtrack just for a second, because I thought this was really funny. When we were talking about Behe in the chat room, ThinkFest called Behe's argument the argument from uh-uh.
Yep.
Argumentum ad pachyderm.
All right, go ahead.
I'll just read what Pat Robertson said in his apologies. He called he called the Prime Minister a kind, gracious, and gentle man who was carrying an almost insurmountable burden of making decisions for his nation. My concern for the future safety of your nation led me to make remarks which I can now view in retrospect as inappropriate and insensitive in light of a national grief experience because of your father's illness. He wrote this to his son.
Yeah, I didn't actually say he was wrong.
No, of course not.
Just that he shouldn't have said it then.
What a pile of fecal matter.
That's different.
My timing's a little off on that. Sorry, guys.
It reminds me of the scene in A Fish Called Wanda where Kevin Kline is holding John Cleese upside down by his ankles out a window, and John Cleese is saying, I apologize for in any way insinuating that you were...
No, because that was a retraction. John Cleese actually retracted.
That's true.
Robertson's just but is just posing.
They're dangling him over $50 million.
All right, let's start with our theme of today's show, which is what?
Go.
The theme of today's show, which is religion in court.
Because
there's a lot of that going on. It didn't end with Dover, Pennsylvania.
No, not
that was just the beginning, not. I think. And I think, Dennis, we should start with the story you've got from Italy.
All right. Prove Christ exists, judge orders priest.
Wow.
An Italian judge has ordered a priest to appear in court this month to prove that Jesus Christ existed. The case against Father Enrico Reichi has been brought in the town of Viterbo, north of Rome, by Luigi Cascoli, a retired agronomist who once studied for the priesthood but later became a militant atheist.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we need more of them. Signor Cascoli, author of a book called The Fable of Christ, began legal proceedings against Father Reichi 3 years ago after the priest denounced Signor Cascoli in the parish newsletter for questioning Christ's historical existence. Yesterday, Gaetano Mutoni, judge in Viterbo, set a preliminary hearing for the end of this month and ordered Father Reichi to appear. The judge had earlier refused to take up the case, but was overruled last month by the Court of Appeal, which agreed that Signor Cascoli had a reasonable case for his accusation that Father Reichi was abusing popular credulity.
God, this is beautiful.
I like abusing popular credulity. What a great phrase.
Well, that's a law they
have.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it.
I don't know. This is the kind of thing like they have in France where you can't take advantage of... Well, it's not the same law. I'm saying it's a similar kind of thing. Yeah. It's laws meant to protect people from being taken advantage of, right? It's anti-scam laws.
Yeah.
And we need to have more of those here because I don't know of any.
Right. Signor Cascoli's,
right?
Yeah. Signor Cascoli's contention, echoed in numerous atheist book. Oh, go ahead.
The FTC actually has authority to go after scams, but they're very lax about certain things. Like, you know, I've written at length about Amway, and the FTC has been willing to look the other way. About
right.
A lot of
Amway?
Well, for all
is
sorts
that
of
on
stuff.
Your blog?
The other thing is that in our culture, these kind of bunker-type scams have to involve money. And in Italy, you can be accused even if there was no money involved.
Right. Wow.
That's cool.
You know, Russell's blog makes a great Christmas present.
This actually isn't my blog. It's a website from a long time ago.
Okay. There's links from your blog, I bet.
Yes.
Senor.
Shut up. Hey, you advertised your stupid game.
My game is not stupid.
It's a very excellent game, actually.
Thank you.
That I've never played.
That would be Living Legends superhero role playing.
Available from there.
RPGnow.com. So,
Senior Cassioli's Senior Cassioli's contention,
yes,
echoed in numerous atheist books and internet sites, is that there was no reliable evidence that Jesus lived and died in the first century Palestine apart from the gospel accounts, which Christians took on faith. There is therefore no basis for Christianity, he claims.
Senior, God, I love this story.
I know. Senior Cassioli's one-man campaign came to a head at a court hearing last April when he lodged his accusations of abuse of popular credulity and impersonation, both offenses under the Italian Penal Code. He argued that all claims for the existence of Jesus from sources other than the Bible stem from authors who lived after the time of the hypothetical Jesus and were therefore not reliable witnesses. Quite rightly so, I say.
Uh-huh.
Senior Cassioli maintains that early Christian writers confused Jesus with John of Gamala, an anti-Roman Jewish insurgent in first century Palestine.
And I hope that this court case does not hinge on him proving that Jesus was in fact John
other
of
guy.
Gamala.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have to do it. That shouldn't
That's true,
be relevant.
But that should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is the thing for the impersonation part. Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah, but okay.
But yeah, it is weird.
It ought to be the church guy's job in the court
to prove
that Jesus existed and was who they say he was,
right.
And not for
bringing in another thing like this is something he has to establish, and
right.
That's going to be rough. Yeah.
Right. Well, we'll see how
we'll see. Church authorities were therefore guilty of substitution of persons. So, the Roman historians Tacitus and Solonus mention a Christus or Christus, but were writing well after the time of the purported Jesus, and were relying on hearsay. Father Rihi said there was overwhelming testimony to Christ's existence in religious and secular texts. Millions had in any case believed in Christ as both man and son of God for 2,000 years. If Cassioli does not see the sun in the sky at midday, he cannot sue me because I see it and he does not, Father Rahe said.
You mean the elephant in the room?
Yeah, exactly. Senior Cassioli said that the Gospels themselves were full of inconsistencies and did not agree on the names of the 12 apostles. He said that he would withdraw his legal action if Father Rahe came up with irrefutable proof of Christ's existence by the end of the month.
This is a January story, is it?
Yes, I believe so.
Do we have a date on this story?
On the story? No, we don't.
Oh, wait. Yes, I have a January story.
Okay, cool.
So it's this month, kids.
Yeah,
it might all be over this month.
That's right. The Vatican has so far declined to comment.
But can you imagine if he loses that case?
That'd be awesome.
Ah, man.
Well, you know, you've got...
Taste!
I mean, books by, like, McDowell, Josh McDowell, the lawyer. Evidence that demands a verdict.
Uh-huh.
Evidence that demands a refund.
This is the case that demands a verdict.
Yeah, well, I mean, his whole claim is that if you brought this if you brought all this evidence of Jesus' existence into court, then it would be impossible to deny.
We're about to find out.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, this has been like a pet area of study for me lately, given some debates and everything. And, you know, you look at the when the first thing you have to do is say, what extra biblical evidence is there that Jesus ever existed? Well, almost everything they cite comes from after Jesus is supposed to have died. So, and most of those just reference Christ or Christians or the church, and nobody's denying that there aren't people who believe this. So when Pliny the Younger or Tacitus or somebody writes about and says, hey, we were having problems with these Christians, that's not an affirmation that Jesus actually existed historically.
Yeah, then you've got affirmation of Christians.
Then you've got the Flavius Josephus comments from the
Josephus,
the Josephus from the Jewish Antiquities and Wars of the Jews. But one of those is at least partially a forgery, if not a complete forgery.
Right.
And the other one only talks about James, the brother of Jesus, and there's nothing there that says it's necessarily talking about the same person. And that was also all written decades after the Bible Jesus was supposedly killed. But the one that came up the other day was from the Sanhedrin. I think it's 43:6. There was a passage which had been excised from that book and then later found and discovered and put back in, which says talks about a guy named Jesus that they killed. And all these Christians leap right on it and say, there it is, right there, and it's incontrovertible. Well, you know what? That passage says that they sent out guys for 40-some-odd days before the execution to announce that the execution was coming. The Jesus in the New Testament was tried and executed on the same day.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't have possibly announced
Ooh.
It. Plus, that passage talks about a guy who was stoned and hung. That doesn't sound like a New Testament guy either. So basically what you have is, This passage here says, hey, there's this guy named Bob who we stoned and hung, and all these Christians are going, that's my Bob! See, that's my Bob, I told you! It's absolutely absurd, and they just can't, you know, because, and the critical thing is that, okay, take Socrates, we don't know for sure that he existed, we only know about him from Plato, but nobody's building a religion on him. If Socrates never existed, the things that Plato wrote about him are still just as valid. The same isn't true for Jesus.
Yeah, the arguments we know about Socrates.
Yeah.
Not
the same isn't true for Jesus. If you could actually, if you cannot demonstrate that Jesus actually existed historically, all of Christianity falls apart. Because the words are testified by his existence, and without his existence, you can't have a crucifixion, you can't have a resurrection or a path to salvation. And
this is why it's so fun to have a theme of religion in court on our show, because you know, we just saw this big example in the Dover trial.
Yeah.
Religious people freaking just lie. They
oh,
just
all
lie
the time.
And make
repeatedly.
Shit up, and they believe things on, you know, stuff they call evidence that has no right to be called evidence.
But
and we want more of this. We want Christianity in court. I look at, there's a story I did not bring in, and I realize now I should have. There's a Christian Civil Liberties Union organization that's like, yo, we're going to protect Christians.
Oh, no.
And
this is different from the ACLJ?
Yes. And this was in a Texas Freedom Network mailing where they're mentioned. Their big case they're bringing is that eBay is violating the rights of this Christian woman because she's an unmarried mother with four kids and they won't let her sell stuff on eBay because she doesn't have like a bank account or a credit card number. But the Christianity has nothing to freaking do with it.
Weird.
But they're taking that case. That is how pathetic this has gotten, that they want to start winning something. They just hardly ever win cases. The cases they do win, either, you know, they've got some clearly insane prejudiced judge just voting in their favor, and it goes on to an appeal where they generally lose, right? That's it. I'm glad that they're out there.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they are out there allowing their religion to be hauled into court. Because that's when it's subjected to the clear, harsh light of day.
Yeah. Paul Wilson recently said that if it wasn't for the clearly political, you know, I want to teach Jesus in school kind of agenda that the intelligent design people all obviously had, he'd say, I mean, we'd say, bring it on. Let's let intelligent design be treated as part of science with all that that implies. Let's let it be divided up into specific and mutually exclusive theories, and let's test those and figure out what evidence could be based against them so that we can scientifically put this thing on in a test tube and say, you know, we have scientifically now proved Christianity is false.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's move back to court, shall we?
Yeah. Now, okay. one thing I just want to mention here.
Wanting to say something, Matt?
Boy, the judge here, he in this case, he previously declined to judge us, and boy, I can sure understand why.
Well, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, it could be a couple of things.
It's going to be
including
ugly.
That he's, like, personally religious.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that's not it. I hope he was merely afraid.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go on to another story here, sort of a lighter one. Christian Academy faces lawsuit over KISS. Now, it's, I know what you're all thinking, but this is not a minister kissing a young boy. I just want to make that clear.
It's the band.
That's not what this is about. What? I just want to make that clear that this is not that kind of a story. A private Christian academy is defending its right to expel a female student for kissing another girl off campus. In courtroom documents filed on January 4, attorneys for Covenant Christian Academy in Loganville say the school has a constitutional right to expel students for sexual immorality. The school filed its statement. I don't know where they're getting it from. The school filed its statement in response to a lawsuit by former student Jessica Bradley. The ninth grader was expelled from the school last April. That prompted Bradley and her father to file a Gwinnett County Superior Court lawsuit in December. In the suit, Bradley alleges invasion of privacy and breach of contract. The Bradleys are seeking at least $1 million in damages. According to the suit, Bradley attended a sleepover party off campus with several other female students on April 22. I'm sorry, I don't have any video. At the party, she kissed another student and at an earlier date had kissed a different female student, according to the suit. 4 days later, Bradley and several other girls were called into the principal's office when they refused to perform. After being questioned about her. That was me injecting, I'm sorry. Fantasizing is more like it. After being questioned about her inappropriate relationship for more than an hour, Bradley, who had a 3.5 grade point average, was expelled, according to the suit. None of the other girls involved in the incident was expelled at the time, said David Clark, the Bradley's Lawrenceville attorney.
Girls Gone Wild, the Bradley edition!
He says he does not know if they were expelled later. Administrators cited the school handbook when expelling Bradley. The handbook states that, quote, any behavior on campus or away which indicates that a student has disregard for the spirit of the school standards would be sufficient reason to ask for him or her to withdraw from Covenant Christian Academy. So, A,
wow.
It doesn't say exactly what those standards are, at least not there, and B, all that allows is for them to ask the student to withdraw, not to expel them.
Hmm.
Clark said the guidelines in the student handbook are too vague, are unenforceable, and never specifically talk about a same-sex relationship. Covenant principal Anthony Knight and the school's lawyer both declined to comment, citing the pending suit, but in the court documents, school attorneys called the lawsuit frivolous and said the private school's decision was protected by the First Amendment.
Hmm?
First Amendment.
The freedom of expelling people.
That's not the First Amendment.
That's really odd.
First Amendment to their rules of...
The church cited...
First Amendment to school rules, we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Right.
The school cited a defense of ecclesiastical abstention, which prohibits courts from interfering in the internal politics of a church.
Oh, yeah, we already know.
Clark said, this is the lawyer for the girl, Clark said that defense is not valid, quote, and this is the cherry on top, as far as I'm concerned. I love this quote. The First Amendment gives churches the absolute right to believe what they wish to believe. It does not give them the absolute right to act how they wish to act.
Ooh!
God, I
like
love that
it.
Quote! That so needed to be said. So there you go. Russell, your turn. What do you got?
Okay.
What do you got for us on religion in court?
Back to intelligent design again.
Yeah. Has that been in court?
Yeah. See, we keep saying, okay, guys, clearly intelligent design is not science. Maybe you could talk about it in some kind of history of religion or philosophy class.
Uh-huh.
So they took that bet.
Okay.
Fresno High School sued over, quote, intelligent design. A rural high school offering a philosophy course discussing a religion-based alternative to evolution was sued Tuesday by an organization claiming the class violates the U.S. Constitution. The suit was filed by Americans United for Separation of Church and State in U.S. District Court in Fresno against El Tejon Unified School District. It asks the judge for a temporary restraining order halting the winter session class, which is already in its second week. Fraser Mountain High School officials called the class Philosophy of Design. They insisted it is not being offered as science, but as an opportunity for students to discuss a controversial issue. Americans United called it an attempt to introduce intelligent design into classrooms. Intelligent design holds that living things are so complex that they must have been designed by a higher being.
So
this is one perspective on it. Another one comes from a blog that I like called Dispatches from the Culture Wars. You won't be surprised to hear that the Discovery Institute has stuck their nose in this this subject.
Okay,
because the Discovery Institute are the group of California-based loudmouths who constitute just about the entire base of support and funding.
It's not surprising that they would stick their nose in after they've been rebutted on several occasions with the idea that, well, maybe it would be okay to teach this in another context.
Right, but they seem to have flipped back and forth on this a lot, at least according to this article. First, Crowther of the Discovery Institute, Robert Crowther, writes something entitled, "Darwinists want to ban intelligent design, not just from science classrooms, but all classrooms. What is it that has these United Americans all upset? Well, the school has the nerve to offer a philosophy, not science, course that encourages students to discuss and debate existing theories, including components of the intelligent design theory, introductory philosophy, Darwin's theory of evolution, and the origins of life according to Greek mythology. The nerve!"
Okay.
Okay, so that was their position on January 9th at 11:30. Then, about 16 hours later, Casey Luskin of the Discovery Institute...
Their opinion evolved?
Yes.
Very rapidly, too.
Yeah.
Some sort of mutation going on over there.
Writes something else entitled, "Dogmatic Darwinist Strike Again, Americans United for the Separation of Students and Science." The implication here is obvious as well. If AU is going to be accused of trying to separate students and science by objecting to this class, then the class must be offering legitimate science for students to explore, right? But the problem is that in this post, Luskin admits that the class does not do that. Quote from Luskin, "The course is misnamed. It actually advocates for young earth creationism and teaches out of the Bible. Such a course would have been more aptly titled something like Philosophy of Origins, but not Philosophy of Design, because intelligent design has nothing to do with young earth creationism or biblical views."
Suck it up.
Notice that Luskin can't even bring himself to say that young earth creationism is an explicitly religious position, which everybody knows it is.
Okay.
The third statement, a press release written by Crowther, based on a letter sent to the El Tejon school board by Luskin, is telling the school that they should change the content of their course or cancel it. Saying
the Discovery Institute is telling them to cancel the course?
Yes.
Awesome.
Here we go. We support efforts to teach different scientific views on the subject of origins in an objective and pedagogically appropriate manner, which allows students to study the strengths and weaknesses of various views, but if this course is intended to present purely scientific views on intelligent design, the content needs to be reformulated and the creationist material should be removed. Otherwise, change the title of the course so it does not misrepresent the theory of intelligent design.
What is that? What is that?
The final acceptable remedy would be to simply cancel the course.
What is that? Remax ad or something? You know, you know, you win when theists fight, you know. It's like
sounds like it.
Oh, man.
Another notable element in Luskin's letter, the dispatches from the Culture Wars blog goes on, it comes from Luskin's letter, quoting, "Moreover, unlike creationism, intelligent design does not try to inject itself into religious discussions about the identity of the intelligence responsible for life. Creationism, in contrast, always postulates a supernatural or divine creator. That's why the U.S. Supreme Court found that creationism was religion in 1987 in the case of Edwards versus Aguillard." Interesting that he would cite that court case. But not the recent Kitzmiller case, which legally said that intelligent design is just as religious as creationism is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Wow.
Cool.
Dennis, do you have more?
Yeah, let's see. I got... let's try this one. Judge scolds pastor for bringing lawsuit over anti-gay remark. Wisconsin's largest gay rights group was awarded $87,000 in attorney's fees by a judge who scolded a Louisiana pastor and his lawyer for bringing a frivolous lawsuit claiming the group defamed him. Grant Storms of the Reformer Ministries in Marrero, L.A., Louisiana, claimed in the lawsuit that Action Wisconsin defamed him by saying remarks he made at a 2003 anti-gay conference in Milwaukee advocated the murder of gays. But in a ruling last week, Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Patricia McMahon said the group's interpretation of the remarks was reasonable, and the lawsuit lacked merit from the day it was filed in February 2004. The judge also blasted Storm's lawyer, James Donahue of Milwaukee, saying he should have known the complaint was a waste of time. Storms was one of the several speakers at the International Conference on Homofascism, a gathering of people who railed against gays. In his speech, Storms said gay rights opponents should start taking it to the streets. He mimicked gunfire. Boom, 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 there's 20. Ka-ching, according to a transcript. Storm said,
pretty clear to me.
Yeah. Storm said Wednesday any contention that he was advocating the murder of gays is ludicrous and ridiculous. He called the judge liberal and insane.
Can you sound a little more like Rush Limbaugh? Because that seems very appropriate.
Yes, it does. I was saying the Christian community needs to go forward and stand against the homosexual agenda, he said, vowing to appeal the decision. We'll win this case and I'll win the culture war. We have God on our side.
My friends.
Oh, boy.
So. I think that there's a comment in there that's very telling, and I'm going to harp on it because it supports something I've been saying for quite some time. The judge criticized the lawyer, not just the defendant, the antagonist. What's the other guy?
Plaintiff, thank you.
Not just the plaintiff for bringing the case, but the lawyer for going along with it.
Right.
Because, in her words, he should have known better. What I've been saying all along is that a huge part of all of this is simply lawyers taking these cases so they get paid.
Right.
They do not care whether the case has merit. They're taken the cases because they get paid. Yeah. He lost the case, he still gets paid.
Right.
He gets paid out of the pocket of a minister who presumably gets all his money from crazy right-wing, insane, anti-gay fundamentalists who will pay him more to keep fighting this case,
right,
which will
great.
Go into the pocket of the lawyer who will happily keep fighting the case in order to get paid.
Yeah, he's not shelling out the award of $87,000.
No.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Interesting. Any
so please, take him to court.
But the whole thing is,
well,
that this allows them to keep it in the public eye and to keep making false claims about wars against Christianity,
yep,
which brings
mm-hmm.
in even
more money
for them, which they don't have to spend
right.
on lawsuits.
Which merely turns these it just turns these fundamentalist religious leaders into very wealthy clients
mm-hmm.
for the lawyers willing to take them. And in some cases, those lawyers have formed their own organizations specifically to cater to the crazy right-wing fundamentalist preacher crowd.
And this yep. kind of ties in to the argument we were having earlier about Pat Robertson. Because, you know, you've got the two kinds of evil at work. One, the kind of evil that really believes the religious stuff and uses it to make life unpleasant for everybody.
Yeah.
And one where they're evil because they use the religious stuff to fleece people out of their money and
right.
Cynically manipulate people to enrich and empower themselves.
Hmm. So what would be
wow.
the ethical thing for lawyers to do in this case? Should the lawyer have just said, no, you can't win this case, I'm not taking it? I mean...
Well, he should have advised them.
Is that
there's no chance they could have won. I mean,
is that considered ethics for lawyers in general? That lawyers should just turn down cases
yes.
that they don't think they can win?
They have a duty to represent their client as best they can. And if
mm-hmm.
if their understanding of it is that this case is unwinnable or you don't have the
right
to bring this case... They're supposed to tell the client that. What happens is that they know that the clients will just find some other lawyer who'll do it
right.
anyway.
Right.
So
they
still,
maybe
the problem isn't the ethics of the individual lawyers. Maybe the problem is systemic. Maybe there should be some kind of way in which it hurts lawyers to bring stupid things to court.
Yeah, I'm just checking to see if it's an, you know, guy who takes advantage of my enemy is my friend kind of situation. I guess it's not. I guess it's probably not.
No.
All right, here's another one. Church-state argument gets hot in Notre Dame case.
Woo-hoo. Does it involve two schoolgirls kissing?
No, this one doesn't. I'm
oh.
sorry.
No.
Not that kind of hot.
Now, how many men have
you
kissed the
guys?
Pope? Come on. How many men have kissed the Pope? Everybody has to kiss his ring. Come on.
Oh, two men kissing
yeah.
hands.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Never mind. Go ahead.
January 11. Even if $465,000 the University of Notre Dame got from the federal government to train Catholic school teachers violated the separation of church and state, even if it did, the money has all been spent, so the court should toss out the complaint, Notre Dame's attorney, Michael Carvin, argued on Monday.
What?
Is that hubris or what?
That's amazing. The money's already been spent. Sorry I stole it, but it's too late.
So I mugged this old lady, but you can't
yeah.
send me to jail because I don't have it.
It's already happened. Sorry.
That's ridiculous! Federal appellate judge Richard Posner
wow.
told the lawyer.
I love it when judges get pissed.
Yeah.
If you actually misspent this money and were an accomplice in violating the establishment cause, wouldn't you have to give it up? No, not at all, Your Honor, Carvin replied. Well, that's ridiculous! What if Congress said, okay, we love Valparaiso University, so we're going to make Lutheranism the national religion of the United States, and we're going to give $1 billion to the Lutheran Church, and the Lutheran Church takes the $1 billion and builds lots of nice little churches. All the money is spent before the ACLU brings suit. Are you saying the Lutheran Church could keep all the buildings? Yes, in fact, Calvin began, that's ridiculous! That's ridiculous! If Itso such an offense to common sense. This is a this is basic restitution law, unjust enrichment. You follow the money to the person who's holding it, and you make him cough it up. And that's like the entire news story.
Wow.
The judge letting this lawyer have it.
That's great. That's
cool. Wow, I love that.
Man.
So did you bother holding him in contempt?
The story didn't say.
I think that would have been just priceless.
Yeah.
You're so fucking stupid, I'm going to lock you up for the night just so you can think about this.
Did you pass your bar exam, or is that a fake?
There was an additional bit in here where the lawyer, and it wasn't clear to me whether the...
Did you get your law degree in a crackerjack box?
There was an additional little bit, which I wasn't sure. It was a quote from the lawyer.
Yeah.
It wasn't clear whether he said it in court or not, so I clipped it. But he, at one point, the lawyer says, what's a offense to common sense is that you can hardly spend any money on religion these days before the ACLU is all over you.
Wow!
Yeah, Russell.
Wow.
Take it home, man.
Okay.
Damn.
This is from a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
An executive committee member of the Southern Baptist Convention, Oklahoma City, was arrested on a lewdness charge for propositioning a plainclothes policeman outside a hotel, police said.
God, then that's so stupid, because if you're going to proposition anybody, shouldn't they be in sexy clothes? Not plain clothes?
Don't know.
Does that count? Have I already had my tasteless comment of the day?
That's not nearly. Oh, it's
probably something I said about. Probably something I said about sex earlier.
Yeah.
I
can't remember. I think I've done several.
I don't think police do sexy clothes undercover.
Sure they do.
They must.
They do. Anyway, this was a guy, so go
but
ahead.
Anyway, go
I'm
ahead.
Sure the plainclothes just means he wasn't in here.
Oh, really? Oh,
like
really, Matt?
Thing.
Is that what they mean?
It could
thank
like
you for ruining my
thing.
Joke.
He could have had, like, the headdress or one of the other village people costumes.
You never hear about, like, clown costume police.
Only
you know, or
monkey,
birthday
I
suit
think.
Police.
Yeah. Bozo, please come back to my room.
But Santa Claus, oddly enough, yes.
I haven't heard that one.
All right.
Lonnie Latham, senior pastor at South Tulsa Baptist Church, was booked into Oklahoma County Jail Tuesday night on a misdemeanor charge of offering to engage in an act of lewdness. Police Captain Jeffrey Becker said Latham was released on $500 bail Wednesday afternoon. Latham, who has spoken out against homosexuality, and that's the good part,
yeah.
asked the officer to join him in his hotel room for oral sex. Latham was arrested and his 2005 Mercedes automobile was impounded, Becker said.
Well, they had to do some semen stain collection on it.
Your Honor, when I invited him back for oral sex, I meant to have a discussion about sex, not performance
just,
of oral sex.
The officer just did not understand what I was discussing.
No, his excuse is worse than that.
Okay.
When he left jail, he said, I was set up. I was in the area of pastoring to police.
And he had on them
plain clothes.
You know, maybe the plain clothes police officers are for attracting the Amish sexual predators.
Wow. Pastoring.
Amish sexual predators can't use toys.
I got my own special clothes. Kind of communion.
Would you sit here in my getaway buggy? I want to go pick up this cop.
He looks so plain. Oh, just got to get me a piece of that.
We don't do the bread, but we do the wine.
What?
Lots of wine, I guess.
I'm lost. Go on.
Boy, my comments are just obscure today.
Sorry. The lewdness charge carries a penalty of up to 1 year in jail and a $2,500 fine.
Dennis, don't feel bad, man. I'm sure we have listeners that are smarter than me that got it completely.
The good thing is that if he does have to do a year in jail, he might actually get what he was looking for.
We'll just provide you with a slippery slope soap we can find.
Why don't you...
Hey, Reverend, will you pastor to me next?
Why don't you go slip into something plainer?
Anyway, he's violently anti-gay and stuff. And
yeah. And he thinks he does protest too loud.
Yes.
Woo! Okay.
What is it? That's so odd.
Well. What else we got? Tennis? Got
not
anything else?
Really. The other things I got are too kind of lame. They're not really.
I'm out of things on topic.
Me too. I'm gone now.
Well?
I got one more off-topic thing.
Okay, Russell. Do yours.
Can we make dirty jokes about it, too?
Yeah. Well, we'll try.
No,
go ahead.
This one doesn't really lend itself to dirty jokes. I'm
okay. Challenge. Bring it on.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, you may remember that there was a coal mine collapse.
Yes.
And
yes.
On Wednesday of that week, the newspapers, for some reason, all suddenly reported that a dozen miners were found alive and a 13th guy was found dead from the explosion. And immediately everyone went and started talking about how it was a miracle, of course.
Oh, well, there you go.
Then on Thursday, the new reports came out. Oops. Actually, we kind of got that flipped around backwards. Actually, one is alive.
Because of the explosion.
12 were dead. All of a sudden, it wasn't a miracle anymore.
Oh, sure it is. It's a miracle that the one guy's alive, right?
No,
I've seen that said.
That doesn't seem to have been a...
No.
You have, huh?
Yeah, oh, sure.
And it's, you know, and
it's even a greater miracle
took
because
the other 12 home.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Right. It's just 1/13 as many people saying it.
Yeah, it might be actually considered a greater miracle because he obviously beat the odds.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. If they'd all made it out, what the hell kind of miracle is that?
Plus, he was dead. That guy was dead for, like, you know, 6 hours.
Okay.
And he came back to life.
So if 12 people live, that's a miracle. And if 12 people die, that's also a miracle. Can you think, is there any situation
if
12
people are alive and then they die?
Yeah.
That's way less of a miracle than if one guy's dead and he comes back to life.
Yeah. Well, it seems like the only way that this might be a non-miracle is if, you know, some kind of... If they all died, and they died a horribly painful death.
Uh-huh.
But even then, you'd have people saying, think of all the people who could have been in that mine, but weren't.
No, it's only a miracle.
I'm sick. God gave me the
it's
flu.
It's only a miracle if nothing had happened. I mean,
it's not a miracle if
nothing had happened.
You know,
if things went along as they do
the
every day.
If the mine doesn't collapse, then that's not a miracle.
That's not a miracle.
Yes, I think Dennis has put his finger directly on it.
Yeah.
If there's nothing, like, you know, no giant news item to talk about, you can't... Look,
you can't call it a miracle.
I just didn't get hit by a comet. It's a miracle.
I spent an entire day and nothing interesting happened to me at all.
Yeah, putting on my Christian rationalization cap gets kind of painful.
Whoa.
Let's see, how can I spin this so Jesus wins again?
That's it. Is that at 3 minutes for us to keep talking, Matt? No, 0 minutes.
Right.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to our fine show, Graham.
You know, we don't really think it's funny when 12 people
No.
die.
No, it was terrible.
No, yes.
But it's not a miracle.
It's nice one guy's still alive. I'm glad of that. But otherwise, tragedy. Thank you for listening to the program. We will be back in 2 weeks. Again, tell all your friends that they probably need to go directly to our webpage and follow the instructions there to connect live to our own personal audio stream. Also, we got the podcasts and stuff. It's all explained cool. there. Yeah. We will see you later. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Check out my Behe review. Attention.